It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Yew trees, that's Y-E-W, grow all over the world, possibly even in your yard. It's easy to take these evergreen trees and shrubs for granted. Artist Greg Thatcher does not take them for granted. He's been creating art inspired by yew trees, a specific collection of yew trees in England, for the past 30 years. He lives in Fairfield, and his exhibit, The Sacred Yews, is on display at the Greater Des Moines Botanical Garden through March 30th. He'll be there for a gallery walk on March 21st, and he is here with me now. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's an honor.
Thank you so much for being here. And this work began on a trip to England back in 1991. Tell me what happened.
Well, when you go to England, it's a very interesting country. And there's so many different little niches of things that you could do. So I started looking through travel brochures, and I found this one travel brochure where it showed a picture of a church and then an avenue of trees, which means there's two on each side, and it was like maybe a block long.
Okay, so a tree-lined lane.
That's it, tree-lined lane. And they were toe-period, which means they were shaped. And what I noticed was is that when you're close up and then something goes back, you settle down. So it's like, you could think of it as like the quest. So your mind, you know, if you look on a mountain and you sit up on top and you look to the distance, what happens? You know, you settle down, things become, you don't have all the boundaries that you normally do. So, you know, since I practiced transcendental meditation, I noticed it was like that. You know, there was this settling effect. So I thought, well, that's interesting, you know, because if I was to be able to use that perspective and that spatial quality, then I could engender that in the viewers. And so that was kind of the whole start of the series.
This specific collection of yew trees has captured your imagination in a really powerful way. Now, as I said, yew trees grow all over the world.
Even in Iowa. Yes,
even
they
in
do.
Iowa.
They do.
Why these trees? What is it that has kept you going back for so long?
That's a really good question. And I'm not sure if I could completely answer that. I feel like I'm their spokesperson. And because they've been around for 350 years, they're like our ancients, you know, like our grandfathers or something. And they have a story to tell, but their story that they tell is not like the story that you would read in a book or something like that. They have another kind of story. So being around them, I find you kind of pick up on that. And so I've always felt like, you know, how could I express in a drawing form or in a painting, in a visual form, how could I express their personality? And I thought, well, you know, we're learning, like right now as we're talking, you know, I'm looking at you and you're looking at me, and there's things about you that I'm picking up and you're picking up that are subconscious. And so if you become more clear about those little keys or those little clues that come out, then you could use those to help express or understand something that's you wouldn't normally do. So when you look at a tree, the way that the tree stands, the way that's this, the way it's been toe-period, all that, that's part of its personality. So if you're there for a longer time, then you kind of, there's this interaction that happens on a very subtle level that you're not even really thinking about the tree, with the trees. And so that's one of the reasons. The other reason is that as we get older, you stop asking questions like that and you just get on with your work. And so that's probably another one. You know, it's just I love being there. I know I'm their spokesman. I know that the series, even though I've been doing it for 30 years and one has these questions in around, should I be doing this? Should I not? It still keeps unfolding more and more and more.
Shortly after you first encountered these trees, there was a terrible storm that knocked down a bunch of branches. And I mean, one of the reasons that yew trees are so popular is because they're resilient, because you can shape them, because you can cut them back.
That's right.
But these trees got cut back dramatically.
Yeah.
And that was a really difficult experience for you.
It was, because there was this one avenue of trees, and there was probably 15 trees, 20 trees in that avenue that I had first started doing the drawings on. And I had was working as one. It was this absolutely gorgeous tree, one of the older trees in the churchyard. And it had this massive shape to it. It was wonderful. And I came back the next year, and this was about 1996, 95, somewhere in there. And it had been cut to broccoli. And I thought, you know, I started crying. It's like, you know, what happened? Why did this happen? So I talked to the church warden, and I found out what had happened. There was a big snowstorm. One doesn't think in England that there's snow, but yes, and it's 60 miles from Bath, so it's wet. And so there was this heavy snow. And what they had done was the church warden had brought in what they called a forestry expert. Now, what that means in my experience, that's a logger, okay? So he came and he just cut them down, and they looked like broccoli. So my reaction was, well, what can I do to help reestablish the sense of beauty and purpose that the tree has? Because their purpose is not just to produce oxygen, not just to be beautiful and have shades, and not a place for the cats and the birds to run around in. They have other purposes as well. And so I thought, what can I do to help reestablish that sense of beauty that the tree has in its purpose? So that's why I got down. I got this incredible angle, and I started drawing. And that led me into a whole new sort of realm of the studio, working with the trees, because now I was working with the underneath side, which is just, you know, completely different. It has the same idea that I was dealing with trying to create this sort of transcendence in the viewer, but it was more on the inside now. So that was the start.
You were trained as a printmaker and a painter, but you felt like those skills weren't adequate to capture these yew trees. So tell me what you felt like you needed to learn.
How to draw again. Because when I went to school, it was all the abstract expressionist. And so you would just come in and you would do something and he'd say, oh, I like that little part right there, you know. And I'll see you in a week. And it's like, what? What is he talking about, you know? So when I started doing on these, and especially when I was working on the inside of the trees, you know, you have to learn whole new situation. You have to learn all about the different kinds of pencils, because if I was to work with very soft pencils, then what happens is that the space in between, what we call negative space in art, that space would separate from the rest of the bough, and then it would come forward. So then I had to learn, okay, all right, if I can't do that, then I have to use really hard pencils. So that's what I do. Is usually I use a 6H, a 3H, and an H, and that's it. So to get it dark, then I have to press really, really hard. But that's an interesting situation, because it's one way, when you work on something like that, it's one way for you to become part of the drawing, is through your pressure. And so you'll notice that the drawing is embossed like that. Sometimes they'll look like you put them under some, am I looking at this right? You know, somebody will look at it in a show and it's like, it's weavy, Greg. Yes, it is weavy. And then I explain why, you know, so.
How do you draw these trees? I mean, a lot of people will take photographs of something and work from photographs. Hmm. What's your process like?
The process is now where it's what's called plein air, which means that it's done on location. And the drawings can take anywhere from 450 to 650 hours. So that's a lot of time sitting there. And I have a special situation with a chair to be able to work. And I just work. And I work on it and continue to build it up. First, you have to build like what I call a substructure. So all the white parts of it, you have to lay out where all the boughs are. And then after you've done where all the boughs are, then you can start doing the tone. And, you know, it takes time. You know, it just takes time to build it up. But my feeling is that that's expressing the sort of deeper appreciation and understanding that I have, or that I gain by virtue of being there with this beautiful object for 600 hours, you know.
How many times have you been able to travel to this grove of trees in the last 30 years?
Probably 27 times.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know how we afford it. I don't. It just happens. So sometimes when my mom passed away, some money came in. Or when Jan's mom passed away, some money came in. So sometimes, like when I went the first time, I got a grant from the Iowa Arts Council, and then I pre-sold artwork. And I didn't know what I was going to do. You know, it was scary on one level, because I'm going there and I owe people artwork and I have no idea what I'm going to do for them, you know? So it was an interesting kind of a situation, but then you just, you know, you get used to that and then you just move on, you know?
This exhibit that's at the Greater Des Moines Botanical Garden called The Sacred Yews. Mm. When people visit that, what do they see?
They see a whole range of work because of my background in printmaking and mixed media. So they'll see some where I've done a G. Clay print, which is I'll do the drawing and then I'll do a special print of it. And then I'll hand color the prints. And then sometimes I'll use gold leaf or acrylic paint or all different kinds of things. But they'll see a whole range. I think there's probably 19 different pieces there. Some that are within the last month or two, and then some that go back maybe 10 years or something like that, just so that it gives people a range of the scope and kind of gives them an idea of what I'm dealing with and what I'm trying to get across like that.
I'm looking at a couple prints right now, and they're so incredibly detailed. Mm. And I can see why this takes you so many hours to create this work. When people look at this work and experience it, what do you want them to take away from it?
Good question. I would like them to somehow be able to understand and maybe move in the direction of the experiences that I've had when I'm drawing. Now, when it was very, very sweet, there was a man who is a gardener, and he works up at the Des Moines Botanical Garden. And he came, I won't mention his name, but he came and he looked at the drawings, and he kind of waited around, and I sat down after talking to people for an hour and a half, and he came up, so I started talking to him. And he was really sweet, just this sweet, sweet man. And he was crying, which was wonderful to see, you know, especially in a man, but, you know, it was really, really wonderful to see. And he told me, in all sincerity, he told me, he says, when I look at your work, he says, the trees are talking to me. And it was, so we went on and we talked for an hour. It was just brilliant. And so I stayed in touch with him. And he also told me that now his experience when he goes out and he works in his garden is that they're not separate from him, but they feel like they're part of his family. Now, to me, that's probably one of the most beautiful compliments that you could have. And so I was really, really touched with, you know, that he had had that. But having that kind of feeling is really important because, you know, as you know, Charity, we're being separated from nature. And people, you know, it's all concrete. And so people don't appreciate or understand not only the importance, but what nature can do for us. And, you know, one thing is that, you know, one thing that's really interesting about art is that you're developing a unity or a harmony of all these different opposite qualities that you're working with, shape and tone and color and texture and all these different kinds of things, and you're balancing them. You're trying to create a harmony, you know. That harmony exists already in nature, but we're just not seeing it, you know. And
so how can people see it? If, you know, it sounds like the man who looked at your work, things came into focus for him in a different way.
They did.
For those of us experiencing the world, going out, spending time in nature, do you have any advice for how to have that come
connect,
into focus?
How to connect, yeah. I think the first thing is leave your phone at home. And you have to realize that nature doesn't talk to us the way we're talking here. It's through intuition or it's through a feeling or something. It's like an example would be maybe you're driving your car and you have a feeling, I shouldn't turn on this road because something bad would happen. So you just think, you drive down there and you get in an accident. So your intuition was able to tell you that something was happening. So like that, or it's like with your children, you have a relationship, something's wrong with my son, I just know it. And so you follow that. So the thing with nature is it's quiet, and you just have to just be, probably the best words is be fabulously open. And I just love that phrase, fabulously open, and just see what happens. And a lot of times it's, you know, you don't go with an expectation, this tree is going to talk to me. It's not like that. But if you went up and you actually put your hands on a tree, you can feel its energy. It has a dynamism. There's a heartbeat that a tree has. And so, you know, you could try that first. Or you could just go and sit, you know, and just enjoy the lack of boundaries that come to you by virtue of being in nature. And I think it's just it's a repeated kind of a situation. But it's there. It's inherent in us, that we have that capacity. And we already know from physics and from, you know, the Indian cultures, American Indian cultures, that we are part of nature. And that part of nature, we just need to kind of wake it up to a certain extent.
We only have about 30 seconds left. After 30 years of studying these trees, do you feel like there's still more for you to learn from them?
Infinitely more. Infinitely more.
Have you thought about finding a grove closer to home?
Well, we did do a trip to Italy, and we did find some trees there, and they are the olive trees. They're calling me, so I'm going to have to go and start doing some olive trees now.
That's not closer to home.
No,
Greg.
I know it's not closer, but it's warmer during the wintertime than England is, so I'd be okay with that.
All right. Well, Greg Thatcher, thank you so much for talking with me.
No, it's a joy. Thank you very much.
Greg Thatcher is an artist and a teacher. He's been creating art inspired by yew trees for the past 30 years. His exhibit, The Sacred Yews, is on display at the Greater Des Moines Botanical Garden through March 30th, and he'll be there for a gallery walk on March 21st. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio. Our producers are Caitlin Harrop, Dennis Reese, Rick Brewer, and Matt Alvarez. You never need to miss an episode of Talk of Iowa. Subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Talk of Iowa, and you can get in touch with us anytime. Email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa.